In your bulletin, there is no fill-in form. There is no outline, none of that other stuff. There will be no PowerPoint up here. We're just not doing that today. We're done with the series, and so the only thing you will have, if you have a bulletin, is on the sheet where there's normally a fill-in-the-blank, it is all of the scripture verses that I will be going through. And instead of having you try to frantically look them up, you can follow along there, and then you can go back and look at them again if you want. There are 13 of them. So, let's begin. The first one I have today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. And you can follow along, or you can sit and listen. It reads like this. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business. I love that part. And work with your hands, just as we told you. I like that one part. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, they read like this. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is not willing to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. Now, you may know that this weekend is Labor Day weekend, and as I was starting to prepare, I was going, do I talk about Nehemiah? You know, Nehemiah, the guy who built the wall and stuff like that, and do some stuff in Nehemiah, or do I talk about God and some of the things that God has to say about work? And so I settled on God and work. And did you know that Labor Day is a strange holiday? While we call it Labor Day, most of us try to do as little work as possible. Most working people actually have the day off. Okay? Nobody has wished me happy Labor Day. We don't give Labor Day cards. Okay? We don't decorate the house, and we don't give gifts for Labor Day. The florist and the greeting card companies have not found a way to capitalize on this one particular holiday. Did you know that in high society, it was fashionable, or at least it was considered the last day of the year when it's fashionable for women to wear white? So next week, ladies, no white. Guys, you're okay, but ladies, not allowed to. Especially white shoes. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Next week. No white shoes next week. Never mind. I'll be in white shoes next week too. It's a bad weekend for churches because everyone wants to travel and try to get in that last weekend fling before school starts and summer's over. It's a different weekend. It's a hard weekend for factory workers. They have the weekend off. They get this nice long 3-day weekend. For policemen who have to deal with extra traffic and drunk drivers and DUIs, it's a tough day. To farmers and ranchers, it's just another day out in the field or working with the cattle. And for us preachers, it's the opportunity to talk about work. So here we go. Work is a very important part of God's will for people. And as I have 3 points that I want to share with you, but as I share these points with you, I'm going to tell you another story. It's a true story. And it begins like this. The USS Astoria was the first U.S. cruiser ship to engage the Japanese during the Battle of Savo Island in World War II. It was a night action fought on August 8th in through August 9th of 1942. Although the Astoria scored 2 hits on the Imperial flagship, the Chokai, she was badly damaged and she sank shortly after noon on August 9th. About 2 o'clock that morning, a young Midwesterner, signalman third class Elgin Staples, was swept overboard when a blast of the Astoria's number 1 8-inch gun exploded, the gun turret. And it wounded both his legs with shrapnel. And in semi-shock, Staples was kept afloat by a narrow life belt that he managed to activate with a simple trigger. Now, we'll get back to the story in a minute. I'm getting some water right now. The first point that I'd like to make today is that God has always honored and provided work. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, it says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. You see, God is a worker himself, and he appreciates rest. He created us in his image, and he gave us work to do. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. From the very beginning, God gave men work to do. When Jesus left heaven and he came down to earth, God honored work. First of all, Jesus' birth was foretold to working shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Graveyard shift. Jesus learned a trade as a carpenter. In Mark 6, 3, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? Jesus was known as a carpenter, and he grew up using his hands, working with his hands in Joseph's carpentry shop. Jesus, he chose working men to be his disciples. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were all fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector working for the Roman IRS. The Bible doesn't really tell us what Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Thaddeus, James, Simon the Zealot, or Judas did for a living. But it's probably safe to say that they all had jobs or some kind of work that they did for a living. And Jesus called them from that work, called them from that labor to become fishers of men. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 10, verse 7, stay there eating and drinking, whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. What was Jesus saying to them as he was talking to them in this? What he was saying is that he didn't want them going around begging from house to house. Jesus expected his disciples to earn their keep. So why do so many people think of work as something bad? If it was something that was started by God and something that was instituted by God, why do we think of it as something that is so very bad? Because sin caused work to be unpleasant. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 read like this. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. Side note real quick. Thank you, Adam. I hate blackberry bushes. And you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam enjoyed tending the Garden of Eden until sin changed things. We think of work as a necessary evil. If we don't have to work, we choose not to do it. Some people do as little work as possible to get by. The idea seems to be to get more money for the least amount of work. This actually leads to the idea of letting someone else do the work for you. Some people choose to be employers, and they hire other people to do their work. In America, labor and management are adversaries. Labor wants the most amount of money for the least amount of work, and management wants the most amount of work for the least amount of money. And this creates an adversarial relationship. And somewhere, hopefully, they find some medium in the middle. Let's get back to our story. At around 6 o'clock that same morning of August 9th, Signalman 3rd Class Elgin Staples was rescued by a passing destroyer and returned to the Astoria, whose captain was attempting to save the cruiser by beaching her, putting her in the sand. The effort failed. And Staples, still wearing that same life belt, found himself back in the water. We'll get back to the story later. The second point is that the American work system is not the Christian way. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9 says, slaves, and you can put bondservants in there if you want. The idea with a bondservant or slave in this idea was somebody who had served their time, and they were free to go if they wanted to. But they chose to stick around as this person's slave or this person's servant because they really had nowhere else to go. So that's kind of what they're talking about here. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only when their favor, not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. He continues on, and masters, treat your slaves the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and your master is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Do these words describe most workplaces? Now, in America and pretty much throughout the world, slavery has been abolished. But many workers think that they are treated like slaves. Many employers have the attitudes like a master, and they treat their employees like slaves. But God cares about how we conduct our business and how we treat others. We will all face judgment, both the employers and the employees. The Christian cannot separate his business from his spiritual life. He has no right to act like a heathen on Monday through Friday and then the weekend, Sunday. The church, the Christian does not live for self alone. You see, money is an opportunity for us to help others. Ephesians chapter 4, 28 says, anyone who has been stealing should steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Now, if we all did like some of the Christians in the church in Thessalonica, and we refused to earn any money, then we could not give to the church. Then the church could not pay its bills. Then the church would have to shut its doors. And then the church could not help those people who were in need. Close to 12 noon, Navy Seaman Staples was picked up again, this time by the USS President Jackson. He was one of 500 survivors of the battle who were evacuated to Nouméa, New Caledonia. Safely on board the ship, for the first time, Staples closely examined that life belt that had served him so well, not once, but twice in the water. It had been manufactured by Firestone Tire and Rubber Company of Akron, Ohio, and it bore on it a registration number, an identification number. We'll get to the ending of the story in just a couple minutes here. The last point, the third point. The Christian does the best we can for others. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord that you are serving. Christian employees should do more than expected because they actually work for the Lord. Christian employers do the best, not the least they can for their employees, because they too serve a master. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. If an employee can get by doing shoddy work or lousy work, he has no right to do so. because he works for the Lord. Christians should know that people are more important than property. The Bible tells us repeatedly that we are to love one another. People are so important that it is vital that we treat them right and we treat them with respect. Listen again to Colossians verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. You see, there are great rewards for doing a good job. Let's finish our story on Seaman Staples. Given home leave, Navy Seaman Staples told his story and asked his mother, who actually worked for the Firestone, about the purpose of that identification number on the belt. She replied that the company insisted on personal responsibility for the war effort and that the number was unique and assigned to only one individual. Staples remembered everything about that life belt that he had, and he even quoted that number to his mom. It was his mother's personal code, and it was something that she attached to every single item that she was responsible for sending out from the factory. Do you think that Mrs. Staples was glad that she performed her job well, saved her son's life not once but twice in the water? You see, it pays in both this life and in the life to come to do our very best in whatever we're doing. How we carry our Christian principles into our work is important because our work performance becomes our Christian ministry. This gives work new meaning and new dignity, doesn't it? We can't claim to be a Christian if our Christianity is only a one-day week affair. God does care what each one of us does on Monday through Friday, whether we are the employee or the employer. There is great encouragement in knowing this, because this is Labor Day weekend. Let's be thankful for the health to do the work that we get to do. Let's be thankful for our jobs. And then let's do the work to the best of our abilities.